Today on NFL Fantasy Live, the playoffs have arrived. Every decision you make is magnified. Figure out which overachievers from Week 13 we suggest you can trust in crunch time. Plus, fantasy glory could be just a click away. Our experts go position by position to give you their top starts for Week 14. And it's Tuesday. Plenty of waiver wire gems for you to target. Could Johnny Football be worth stashing for your playoff run? Find out next. NFL Fantasy Live starts now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, the official fantasy football show of the NFL. Matt Money Smith here with the Admiral, Akbar Baja Biamila, Michael Fabiano, the Hoff. And a reminder, you can always tweet the show at NFL Fantasy. That's one word, NFL Fantasy. The playoffs are here for a lot of leagues, so still availability for players to make a difference on the waiver wire. Why don't we start with you, Febs? Who do you like?
I'm going with Dan Heron because he's the running back now in Indianapolis. Do you think the Colts maybe would do that whole Trent Richardson trade again?
Perhaps.
Nah, probably not.
Oh, no?
Because when a third-string running back comes in and replaces you after Ahmad Bradshaw, who is an older back with a lot of injuries, has already been better than you from a fantasy perspective and a reality perspective,
sure.
This guy is now going to see most of the touches in the backfield for the Colts. And listen, he's not the greatest running back in the world, but he's got a great quarterback that he's playing with, which means stacked fronts are not
like
going to happen. I said he's not the greatest running back in the world.
Okay,
I mean, come
right.
on. He's not DeMarco Murray
or
Marshawn Lynch.
But he's got Andrew Luck as his quarterback.
Exactly. And how many times in Week 14 are you going to find a starting running back on the waiver wire?
Stevie Johnson, Akbar?
Yes, Stevie Johnson.
What do you know that we don't?
You know what? I'll tell you this. You remember the game that he's going up against who? The Oakland Raiders, right? And we saw Tavon Austin get the highest target that he ever got. Well, actually, tied his highest target for the year against the Raiders. When teams go up against the Raiders, they like to start to, I don't want to call it practice because that would be an insult to the Raiders, they want to open up the playbook to be able to work on things that they've struggled. So this, for them, is going to an opportunity to get Stevie Johnson going in this offense. I think Colin Kaepernick will target Stevie Johnson a ton in this game. Last week, he was the highest targeted guy for the San Francisco 49ers. I don't see why that won't carry
you
know, over.
That's a product of Richard Sherman, you know, and trying to stay away from him, rightfully so. They probably should have stayed away from him.
And so what happens when you don't have any coverage? Who do you think is going to be open?
That's
that guy
question.
Is very quick off the
everybody.
Line. Everybody. I can tell you that right
All
now.
Right. There you have it. We're going to have plenty more waiver wire targets later in the show. But for now, we throw it over to Marcus Grant and Adam Rank.
Thank you, Money. We are here, as we always are, getting you caught up with all the latest news and notes from around the National Football League. And we will get started down in the desert. That is where Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians told reporters Monday that running back Andre Ellington will not practice on Wednesday. Ellington left last Sunday's game against the Falcons in the second quarter due to a hip pointer injury and did not return. According to Ian Rappaport, Ellington underwent treatment this week and hopes to not miss any game time. So, Frank, if Ellington is out, is there a Cardinals back you trust this week?
Trust is such a tricky word
it
right
is.
Here, but the one guy I would be looking after is Marion Grice. He seems like the guy who would end up getting the majority of the carries, and of course I liked him, you know, watching him at Arizona State, so that's the guy I would go with. It's a good matchup. That's the one thing that's troubling. Like, I would want to play Ellington this week, but it's the playoffs. I don't know that I would trust starting Marion Grice this week.
It's like a throwback to August. You talking about Marion Grice.
See, it all comes full circle.
Time is a flat circle. Ian Rappaport is also reporting the Giants running back Rashad Jennings is not expected to miss any time. Jennings left the game Sunday against the Jaguars in the fourth quarter after injuring his ankle and didn't return. If Jennings does start this week against the Titans, are you hesitant at all to put him in your lineup?
No, not at all. I would absolutely start him this week. It's a great matchup against the Titans, who give up a lot of points to pretty much everybody. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to go out there and make your defense look silly, I really don't have any qualms about starting anybody against. I would even pick up Eli Manning and start him this week if you're that desperate for a quarterback in your playoff run.
That you're not nervous says a lot about this matchup.
Right? Yep. And I'm a panicky guy.
You are.
Like, I'm the guy. I'm shaky. I'm second-guessing every decision
Absolutely.
I ever make.
Absolutely. So your confidence makes me confident. I'm inspired.
I'm glad I can help.
Some good news for folks in the nation's capital. Wide receiver DeSean Jackson isn't expected to miss any time. This, according to Ian Rappaport, Jackson was carted off the field last Sunday against the Colts and has a fibula contusion. Assuming D-Jax does play this week against the Rams, would you trust him rank as a flex play?
I do like him as their top option there, yes. I would play him. He's a dynamic receiver. He is somebody I expect Colt McCoy to look at quite extensively in this game. So if he's playing, and as long as he practices this week, I don't want to get into a situation where he's missing most of the games. If he doesn't practice on Friday, that's where I would pump the brakes. But if he practices this week and if he's good to go on Friday, then I would have him in my lineup on Sunday.
It's like he and Colt McCoy seem to have a little bit of a connection going.
They really do. I think Colt McCoy has this weird thing about him where he's like, who's my best receiver? Okay, I'm going to throw it to him.
That's a weird
thing. RG3 didn't do that a lot.
So strange.
So, yeah. So weird. Colt McCoy, it's a different thing there.
Absolutely. More wide receiver news. On Monday, Falcons head coach Mike Smith said he anticipates that receiver Roddy White will be ready to go in week 14. White was a late scratch last week against the Cardinals and sat out due to an ankle sprain. Falcons play the Packers on Monday night, so this is a tricky situation. Is it worth waiting on Roddy White and putting him in, or do you maybe go out and grab Harry Douglas off waivers?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't pick up either one of the – I wouldn't play Roddy White. I wouldn't chase the points with Harry Douglas. I would avoid this situation altogether. The only guy I would really trust is Julio Jones, and even then I would be a little bit apprehensive because the offensive line is still shaky. They had one great game, and I want to congratulate them on that. They went out and played very well, but they are going to be playing on Monday night in Lambeau Field where it's cold. Dome team outside at night in the cold. I don't want anything to do with them, but Julio has that special talent to where, okay, I'll play him as a wide receiver too, but those other guys, no thank you.
But Atlanta's making the push to be a playoff
team. Nope.
All right. For more now, we'll throw it back to Money and the Guys.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. How about a Monday nighter to decide who's in, who's out?
Were there highlights fantasy in this league. Game?
We're going to try, because the Jets start things off.
Running
first,
the ball.
On a 2nd and 4, Chris Johnson. That's right. CJ 2K looking there. Those live legs, 47 yards down to the Miami 20-yard line. Next
Johnson.
Play, did you start Greg Salas? I hope so, because on the Jets, right? Oh, no. Oh, no, there's Miami.
Yeah, did he pull a hammy there?
He did, actually.
Or is he just really slow?
Did score the touchdown, though.
He's running a little tight.
Salas, by the way, owned in 0% of the league.
0%.
Dolphins now driving in the third, 3rd and 6. Tannehill airs it out. Mike Wallace.
Come on, Mike Wallace.
Gotta catch that.
That was great placement.
Leads to a Miami field goal after a blocked punt. Here we go. Finn set up on a 41. Tannehill tipped by Lamar Miller. There's a pick. Jets can't do anything with it. Score stays at 13-6. So to the 4th, we go. Miami works the ball to the 4-yard line. 2nd and goal. And number 26, Lamar Miller
from the U. Into the end zone.
Punches it into the end zone. 12.7 fantasy points for Miller. Ties the game at 13. Jets down 16-13. Driving 1st and 10. Gino. Back to pass. Has his tight end, Cumberland. Oh, tipped to the air.
You
intercepted by Rashad Jones. Takes the
knee. Geno Smith.
And Dolphins win.
Miami Dolphins.
Let's see what we got here.
Michael K. Did not like that
2.5, you got the 6.8 and the 3.3. Oh, hey, the Dolphins defense got you 8 fantasy points. That's pretty good.
That is just, ooh.
It's like a fantasy cemetery
right there.
I had a 1.5 point.
Nothing.
Like, what do you say to this?
Yeah.
It's just quiet.
I had a 1.5 point lead in a league to determine a bye. I had Jarvis Landry. He had Ryan Tannehill. He beat me by like 0.3 of a point for a bye. So I was forced to watch that entire Monday night.
I will say I did predict Eric Decker yesterday to have 0 points. He did better than I anticipated. 1.8.
A little bit. 1.8. Yeah. We'll start with the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill gets the win. A lot of us thought that was going to be a great spot start. It was not. Only 9 fantasy points. What about moving forward? Is he a start?
I did like Tannehill a lot in this game, and unfortunately, he did not do much. It was a great matchup. It just didn't happen. But I'm still trusting him moving forward, especially against the Ravens. Wait, Fabiano, are you crazy?
Are you
against
crazy
the Ravens?
Against the Ravens?
Baltimore's pass defense is lousy. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Ever since
Jimmy Smith has been injured, they have been rotten. So I still like Tannehill. This is a bump in the road for him.
Well, you know, I'm right there with you. I think he's been on the upward trend. He's been getting better, learning from his mistakes. I think that I'm a fan of Ryan Tannehill as well. But you better be struggling at that quarterback position, though, in week 14 before you play him.
One thing that was surprising last night that we saw against Denver was that read option. There wasn't a lot of it. And yeah. Lamar Miller and Ryan Tannehill were doing a number together. Lamar still got you good numbers, though, Akbar.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you got 12 fantasy points out of 67 yards and a touchdown. That's productive enough for you to rely on him.
Against the Ravens next week?
Because when it's the playoffs, you need everybody to be in sync. And I'm going to say you stay away from Lamar Miller. I mean, he's going to probably give you somewhere around 9 fantasy points perhaps, but I don't think that's good enough if you want to win.
I would say the bread and butter of Miami's offense is running the football. And when you think about this, is an elimination game almost between the Ravens and the Dolphins.
But what does the scouting report say? Because the scouting report, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens, and I see that they've had a bunch of guys rotating there in that secondary group. They've had 6 guys rotate through that secondary group. Ryan Tannehill, all of a sudden you get Landry involved.
Okay, let's talk about Jarvis Landry then.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry,
who has been targeted quite a bit, a team-high 11 targets, as a matter of fact, Monday night, still owned in less than 10%. Of the leagues. Is he worth picking up and stashing for the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely.
And starting this week.
He should be added already, but a lot of people are asleep out there. Must have been too much tryptophan from the turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He did have 11 targets, and in PPR, he was great last night.
That's
over 14 fantasy points. And again, guys, don't let the Ravens defense scare you in terms of pass. Okay, they're not good against the pass this year, which means Jarvis Landry is a nice little sleeper as a 3, especially in PPR leagues.
And on top of that, Bill Lazor likes to keep everything in front for Tannehill. This is not Mike Sherman's offense where he was making a lot of mistakes because he was trying to force it down the field, get Mike Wallace involved. Landry is that intermediate guy. He does a lot of stuff right there in those intermediate routes, which allows him to keep the offense moving the chains for Ryan Tannehill in that offense. That's where the Lamar Miller in the passing game could be effective, but I think it's Jarvis Landry who's going to help them move the chain.
Let's go to the other sideline, and this is sort of a big picture conversation about next season and Percy Harvin, because you take a look at this board here. You see the ownership right there on the left column. Percy Harvin sandwiched between Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith. You see Sanu and Beckham below him, Keenan Allen, Steve Smith Sr. above them. Look at the points per game, all right? You've got 12 at the top end there for Beckham. Low end on this board is 8 per game for Keenan Allen. Percy Harvin is getting you 5.4, barely got you anything last night. This is the first time in a long time that Percy's lack of production cannot be blamed on injuries. So what do you do about Percy next year in fantasy?
Let me first say this, Fabs, I'd like for you to chime in. The guys who own Percy Harvin, these are the same guys that own Prada, Louis Vuitton bags, and they're into name brand stuff. Those are the high-end guys that shop at Nordstrom's and these kind of things.
What's it called? Prada?
Prada. You're not familiar. You're
not familiar,
okay. So, but those are people who own Percy Harvin because that's all it is a love fest. You love his name. That's it.
His name value. Harvin and Eric Decker are at the top of my bust list for this year, right along with Vernon Davis. I'm just not a fan of Percy Harvin anymore. If he goes to Seattle, you know what happens when wide receivers go to Seattle?
Well,
it's not good. It's not good at all. So right now, I mean, you're looking at Percy Harvin as a guy. you're definitely sleepless if you've kept Percy Harvin this year.
Give me some other brands, Akbar. Give me some other. What is it, Lewis?
I wear a custom suit made by Woody Wilson. Yeah. So
I'm not even good enough to sit next to this man right now. Percy Harvin, late round pick next year. That's it.
Yeah.
Too many wide receivers. Yeah. I'm not touching them. Coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, Andrew Luck had 5 TDs on Sunday, but was that enough for the Twitterverse? Stick around, see which players and fans say.
You're so fancy.
Help their teams most this past weekend, and you won't want to miss Marcus Grant's fantasy breakdown. Targets, touch leaders, caught his eye in week 13. You'll see him. And what it means for your lineups this year is NFL Fantasy Live.
Goop.
Time now for Game Changers, presented by Bose. This season, we look to you, our viewers, for help to decide which performance has made the biggest impact for your fantasy teams. You can tweet us using the hashtag Game Changers, and maybe one of those tweets is just going to be featured on an episode of NFL Fantasy Live, like it's about to this very moment right for now. Some of you, the lucky fans. Akbar, why don't you get us started with Andrew Luck?
Well, you know, sometimes numbers can be skewed, and then other times they show kind of the volume of who you're dealing with. And I think for Andrew Luck, it is who he is. It's the sum of who he is, because you look at what he did. I mean, this his production, 5 touchdowns, 370 yards,
And this is after starting that first drive very slow. They had a fumble. They had, he had an interception. But the, his ability to bounce back and to utilize his weapons just speak to me. We already know what he can do. We already know he's smart and he's got the arm strength. He's got the, all that stuff for him. But I think this is a guy that we know that during the playoffs is going to help you win your fantasy league.
Yeah,
I mean,
2 weeks ago,
hands down.
2 weeks ago, we were like, uh-oh, this offense without Ahmad Bradshaw might be trouble. And then, boom, comes right back and lights up that Washington Picks Redskins defense. Fabs, we stick with the quarterback position. And what we hope is the beginning of a strong playoff run for
I would
Drew Brees.
Argue that there is not a happier person playing fantasy football than Matt Money
That's
Smith
right.
because he's got Drew Brees coming off a 5-touchdown game and with a great stretch of opponents coming forward. This week he plays the Panthers. Money's in the playoffs. You're going to be like Manziel out there, man. You're going to be doing the money sign.
That's right.
Because Drew Brees is likely to lead you deep into your playoffs.
Well, if he's going it's likely that I'm going to come across a young man by the name of Le'Veon Bell. We predicted this time and time again about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago when it wasn't looking good, Fabs. But Akbar, Le'Veon Bell came on strong. It's the winter months, and he's doing it for people.
He's one of the most consistent running backs out there. I mean, he just continues to. They rely on him, and the way he ran against the New Orleans Saints, it was just evident that he's going to continue to do that. But then the way he also was in the passing game, 150-plus yards in the passing game, boy, that's very good for Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger now has another guy that he can throw to on top of Antonio Brown, on top of Martavis Bryant. This guy is going to be explosive during the fantasy playoffs.
Is Bell a top three pick next year?
Absolutely. Come on. What? I'm going to one-up you. He's probably top two. How about that?
Whoa.
His ability in the passing game, 156, huh? Top two. I know you are.
Because
I know
there's such a dramatic difference.
Yeah, there is. I mean, how far can you go?
We thought Justin Forsett was going to run away with the waiver wire pickup of the year. He keeps going. Trey Mason may give him a run if he posts big numbers in the playoffs. Here.
Well, keep in mind, this was his first big game of the entire year. The last time he had double-digit fantasy points was actually against the Seahawks several weeks ago.
And it was against the Raiders.
So, no, it was against the Seahawks. So this game was against
the Raiders. Yeah.
And we predicted this. I mean, the Raiders can't stop anybody. That's why I actually like Frank Gore this week, believe it or not. But don't chase the points with Mason. He's not an RB1. He's not an RB2. He is a flex starter. And the Redskins, their defense has been pretty good against the run at home. But at least last week, Mason was a fantasy superstar.
I will go to the man that posted more points for you, Ryan, and all of his owners than any other wide receiver in the league this week.
Wagon.
How about DeAndre Hopkins and the Clemson Tigers continue to put it on the NFL. He had a monster of a game, 238 yards, 2 touchdowns. That is 35.8 fantasy points. The Titans have been bad. They are playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville. That defense a little bit better than maybe people give them credit for, but they are still allowing a whole lot of points through the air. So if DeAndre was your flex starter, I'm going to say he is definitely staying in the flex and may be a wide receiver too for you this coming week. That was Game Changers presented by Bose. For more now, we throw it over to Adam and Marcus.
Thanks, Monty. We're breaking down the players with the most targets and backfield opportunities from Week 13. So let's take a look, Marcus, at who made the list. And we will start with the most targeted players. A tight end is sneaking into the list. Heath Miller there with 14 targets on 8 receptions. Some of the usual cast of characters you would expect. Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, Julio Jones, and Harry Douglas did pretty well. But Keenan Allen, a guy that you talked about last week, Marcus, a guy that you said was going to come out and have a good game, I think he did.
He did. He had a better game even than I would have expected to see that, the 121 yards, a couple of touchdowns against the Baltimore Ravens. And his targets have been there all year long. He just hadn't produced the yardage numbers or the touchdown numbers until recently. He had really been kind of on the level of a possession receiver. Hopefully you stuck with him. Hopefully you got these numbers from him on Sunday. The problem is his schedule the rest of the way, not particularly favorable. He's got the Patriots this week. He still has some tough matchups with the Chiefs and the Broncos coming. So this might have been the last bit of huge production you saw from him, but just because the ball keeps coming in his direction, he's hard to completely give up on.
Absolutely. What about Megatron? He had a very good game on Thanksgiving.
He had a huge game. In fact, it was his second biggest game of the season. You see that, the 26.6 fantasy points. He was all over the place. He got going early and often in this one and making Megatron-type catches for touchdowns. But the only other really huge game he had this year was in week one. He hadn't really done anything like this since that first game of the season. But hopefully, this is the start of Megatron being Megatron for the rest of the year.
All right, you've got the brains. I've got the bronze. I've also got the list of the week 13 players with the most backfield opportunities. And there we see some of the guys we've been talking about an awful lot. C.J. Anderson, Le'Veon Bell, Rashad Jennings, Justin Forsett, LeSean McCoy, Joyke Bell, Fred Jackson, a couple of guys sneaking in there at the bottom, somebody to keep an eye on going forward. But the guy we got to talk about, C.J. Anderson, absolutely fantastic against the Chiefs on Sunday night. What did you see out of him?
Well, I see C.J. Anderson being the guy that is pretty much taking control of that Broncos running game right now. Who knows what happens in 2015, but I think for the rest of 2014, this one belongs to C.J. Anderson. It's almost like those days back when Mike Shanahan was coaching Denver and they would plug and play running backs and everybody would succeed. Anderson's that guy. He's been atop of the backfield opportunities list 2 weeks in a row, and I don't really see anything changing for the foreseeable future, especially as it starts to get cold in Denver.
C.J. Anderson has averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Ronnie Hillman was at 4.2, so I don't see him losing that job anytime soon. DeMarco Murray, do you see something a little bit troubling ahead for him?
A little bit. The first 7 games of the season, Murray averaged 27 carries per game. The last 5, that number has dropped to about 20 carries per game. Part of it could be the Cowboys trying to get him rested up and make sure he's healthy for any sort of a playoff run. But part of it is that they have put the ball in Tony Romo's hands a little more often. I would think this week on Thursday night, where it should be very cold in Chicago on a generally up an awful field there at Soldier Field, you could see a little more of DeMarco Murray this week.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you're pot committed with DeMarco Murray.
Absolutely.
At this point. It's
yes.
Not like you're going to go out and start Isaiah Crowell over him like that.
Right.
I might, though. I'm a little bit crazy.
You are a little crazy like that.
But great stuff. The column is called Fantasy Breakdown. Make sure you look for it. Marcus puts in a lot of time with it, and he would really appreciate it. All right, still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, we're hitting the waiver wire to find you the golden ticket. See which players our experts say you have to pick up for your championship run.
Time now to hit the waiver wire as we welcome you back to NFL Fantasy Live presented by Bose. Matt Money Smith here with Adam Rank, the Hoff, Michael Fabiano, and Marcus Grant. The playoffs kick off this week for a lot of leagues, so still an opportunity for you to improve that roster, still an opportunity to target certain players on the waiver wire. Fabs, who are you looking at?
Well, Latavius Murray was one of these guys that we talked about a lot a few weeks ago, but he didn't play last week, which means people didn't pick him up off the waiver wire. He's still a free agent in over 80% of NFL.com leagues. And listen, the Raiders are done with Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew. That's the past. Murray potentially is the present and the future. They want to see what they have in this kid, and maybe they won't have to target a running back in the draft in 2015. So pick him up and play him based on the matchups.
You're sticking with running back position here, Rank,
and
someone that's had a bit of an issue fumbling the ball, but they keep him in there.
They keep him in there because the alternative is Trent Richardson. So at that point, you're going to go with this guy, warts and all, and even if he puts the ball on the carpet a few times, they're still going to run him pretty much for the whole game.
Yep.
And that's the whole thing. And last week, he didn't have a great matchup against the Redskins, but still went out and put up a pretty good stat line. This week, it should be a lot easier. They've got the Cleveland Browns, who have allowed a lot of fantasy points to running backs this season. So it's rare that you can be in week 14 and still find a number one running back. And I consider him the top guy there in Indianapolis. But if he's available, you got to pick him up.
All right, to the quarterback position, Marcus and Mark Sanchez.
So I'm Mark Sanchez here. The guy looks fantastic, obviously, on Thanksgiving Day against the Dallas Cowboys. On paper, the matchup against Seattle this week doesn't look great, but we've seen the Seahawks look very different away from the Pacific Northwest this season, not to mention the fact that the Eagle offense really is rolling right now, whether it's throwing the ball to Jeremy Maclin and Jordan Matthews or it's giving it to LeSean McCoy. There's a whole lot for defensive coordinators to think about, and Mark Sanchez making a lot of good decisions throwing the football right now, and he's a guy that maybe if you have some hurt and some issues at your quarterback spot is a good option for you.
Fabs, I think you're probably going to somebody that's going to have to be snagged with the number one waiver wire spot this week.
He will be a very popular pickup off the waiver wire, and of course that's Kenny Stills. 162 yards, over 22 fantasy points last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a free agent in about 90% of NFL.com leagues. We know Brandon Cooks is out for the year, and Kenny Stills has benefited from his absence, and They're playing the Panthers this week, guys.
Yeah.
Great matchup.
I mean, you look at nearly 10 points his last three. It's the best playoff schedule for any receiver. If you have the number one slot, I would say this is the guy you ought to go get.
And he's been even better in PPR leagues, too. 58 points in his last three games in PPR.
Dante Moncrief, a rookie wide receiver. Add him to the group, huh, Rank?
Yeah, well, if you miss out on Stills and want to find somebody who's going to be targeted an awful lot, Moncrief is certainly that guy. Now, it's pretty clear T.Y. Hilton is the number one guy for the Colts. But Moncrief has now emerged as the number two guy because Reggie Wayne is now just a thing of the past. He's somebody who has been passed by both of these
so
guys.
Cold.
Listen, it happened. He did it. He did
ageism.
It.
Ageism here on the Fantasy Live set.
Did he not do it to Marvin Harrison?
He did.
He did. It just happens. It's a cycle
of
life.
Turnabout is fair play.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. So, again, I would go Stills one. If not, Moncrief's a great option.
Colt McCoy at the quarterback position for you, Marcus.
Yeah, he was slinging it around last week like he was back in the burnt orange again in Austin, Texas. That's what he looked like. Granted, the Colts had jumped out to a pretty significant lead, and they gave McCoy, obviously, a lot of opportunities to throw. But this is a week where I like the way he's spreading the ball around. You see him getting it to Logan Paulson there. He's getting it down the field to DeSean Jackson. Maybe even he can revive Pierre Garçon a little bit. I forget the fact that the Rams destroyed the Raiders last week because, well, Raiders. But Colt McCoy is the guy who has a chance to bounce back this week.
I'm glad you brought up Colt McCoy because he was playing the Indianapolis Colts, and it gives us an opportunity, gentlemen, to talk some Johnny Football. That's right. Got in there, scored nearly 10 fantasy points on a single drive that included a fumble, although it was ruled, I believe, as a botched snap.
Talk
but
cool.
The point being, it is a good playoff schedule for Johnny Football and the Cleveland Browns, the Colts this week, and you still have the Panthers on that list as well. So if you have, let's say you had Nick Foles and you've been trying to deal with Ryan Tannehill or Mark Sanchez or something, because this young man knows how to use his legs, because they have a good running game, because they have a good offensive line, and oh, yeah, Josh Gordon only managed to put up the most points for a fantasy wide receiver last year despite missing 2 weeks with Jason Campbell as his quarterback for a couple weeks. He's got great weapons. He uses his legs. This could be a no-brainer pickoff for the playoff run, and you want to talk about upsetting the apple cart in your fantasy league. If
that would
you
be the
snatch
best.
Johnny Football
oh, it would
and
be
win
so
a Super
amazing.
Bowl,
yes.
That'd be remarkable.
He shows he can get the ball to receivers, too. I know he draws a lot of comparisons to, like, Tim Tebow and Terrell Pryor, but this guy can actually throw the football, and that's the one misconception about him. So he has a great option.
If Tebow can make an impact and Pryor can make an impact and they don't have the same arm as Manziel, but they can run the ball like Manziel, Johnny Football's got loads of upside. Yeah.
And again, Josh.
Did you just do this
Gordon.
For Johnny
Josh
Football?
Gordon.
Don't ever do that.
If you want some of our deep waiver wire targets for the week, no, it's Gig'em. You can't hook them. You can't
That's
hook
them. That's what I was saying.
What's going on?
That's what I was saying.
What is happening around here? /now. That's NFL.com/now to download the app for free. We'll be dishing out additional players exclusively for NFL Now users.
Oh, wait,
I misunderstood everything.
I got it backwards.
As on their abysmal Thanksgiving Day performances, can you trust Romo or Kaepernick in the fantasy playoffs? Find out when we reveal our top starts for week 14. You are watching NFL Fantasy Live. Still to come on NFL Fantasy Live, we saw some monster fantasy performances in Week 13, but which of them can you trust when your season's on the line? We'll tell you who's the real deal and who's a fantasy mirage. Plus, fantasy playoffs mean win or go home. Our list of top Week 14 matchups is sure to help you achieve lineup nirvana. And finding a good tight end this year, well, it's been slim picking. So we're busting out the Week 14 schedule to find you the top tight end matchups. NFL Fantasy Live rolls on. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. Matt Money Smith here with Akbar Adam. And Fabs, remember, you can always tweet the show at NFL Fantasy. Gentlemen, plenty of overachievers in Week 13. So let's help the fans figure out whether or not they were the real deal or a fantasy. Fabs, get us started. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 6 touchdowns, 75 points. How about it? We're starting this week against the Jags, right?
This was a one-time thing.
Hold on, what? Who?
Fitzpatrick had the best game he's ever going to have in fantasy.
Ever.
Now, would you pick him up off the waiver wire if you needed a quarterback and maybe get a little Fitz magic? I guess so, but I'm not sold, man. I think this was a once-in-a-lifetime performance. The Jaguars are his opponent this week. They're playing very well at home against quarterbacks, so if you need a QB, pick him up. Again, maybe the magic will still be there, but I just I don't trust him.
See those 3.8% that know better than you, Fabs? They're taking you down in the playoffs by starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
When he has 10 points this week, we'll see how that goes.
Let's go Matt Ryan, yes, Adam Ray.
I'm going to say he was a mirage. There are still a lot of problems with that offensive line, and although he had a great performance last week against the Arizona Cardinals, I don't anticipate him being able to walk into Lambeau Field this week and having the same kind of success, because, Matt, you've said this before, that Packers defense is just a different animal at home, and I see Monday night, I see a dome team going out there in the cold and just not performing well, and if you want to risk your fantasy fortunes on Matt Ryan on Monday night in Lambeau Field in the cold, you're a lot braver than I am, and I live in the danger zone.
I would, Mr. Danger Zone, I would flip it, say, take that Packer defense that leaky offensive line of Atlanta. Kobe Fleener, no Dwayne Allen, and Akbar Fleener put up the big points again.
Well, I knew several weeks ago that Kobe Fleener was starting to get into it. You could tell the way he was running his routes, the way he looked come from this offense, and now all of a sudden against the Washington Redskins, it all came together. Of course, now with no Dwayne Allen, like you mentioned, he's really that guy. He's the third most targeted guy on the team. So, of course, you have T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, and then there's Kobe Fleener. So this only makes sense for you to play him. We saw what he did against the New England Patriots in Week 11. He put up big numbers there, too. So look for him to stand out. He's
only
real.
Better quarterback throwing to him. The other side of the ball, Jordan Reed was no slouch.
Reed is real, and he is spectacular when he's actually healthy. This is a guy who had a ton of targets, double-digit targets last week. And the tight end position is just garbage this year, guys. I mean, Jimmy Graham, how many points did he have last week?
Zero.
So it's very hard to find a consistently good and productive tight end. But if someone dropped Jordan Reed, pick him up. He is a tight end one moving forward, again, as long as he can stay healthy.
How about Joik Bell, Rank? The Lions running back situation has been, well, a conundrum, if you will, all season long.
That's why I'm going to have to go back to Mirage for him, too. We've been waiting for him to break out and have a huge game, and it came against the Bears, who had been pretty good against running backs on the ground so far this season. And even though Bell has some favorable matchups this week, he's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think that defense is playing a lot better than people are giving them credit for. So I don't expect them to be the walkover that a lot of people might. So you saw what they did to Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard last week. So I would shy away from them. I imagine that you got better options off the waiver wire, guys like Isaiah Crowell. I would go with them.
Double-digit points for Ryan Matthews. They get the Pats at home this week, Akbar. Are you sticking with them or no?
I'm not. And I think he's a mirage going up against the New England Patriots. They've got a tough schedule coming down the stretch here, and they haven't been playing like the San Diego Chargers we saw earlier in the year. I think that this has been they've been very inconsistent. I know he barely got that touchdown against the Ravens there. So, I mean, look, 12 carries, 40 yards, not a lot of production there. I don't see him doing well against the New England Patriots, and I don't see him getting into the end zone.
Yeah. And if there weren't some just solid waiver wire pickups available that we've seen the last few weeks, you would assume Ryan Matthews would have been like a must start. Just not the case because of how good some of these backups have been. I mean, we got to a couple of them earlier today. All right, getting to the fantasy playoffs is one thing, but if you want the title of fantasy champ, no room for error. Up next, we break down the top matchups to help you set the perfect lineup. But first, it's time for our next installment of Behind the Fantasy. We take an inside look at Marcus Grant's struggle to fit in when NFL Fantasy Live returns.
Hey, the dapper Marcus Grant. He's fantasy football's Tubbs to Michael Fabiano's Crockett. Expert analysis and a nice suit and expensive tie and swanky Italian cuffs. But Marcus wasn't always so fashionable. This is his story behind the fantasy.
When I first started, I realized pretty quickly that there are some big expectations that come with being part of the NFL Fantasy Live crew. All right, guys, here we go. Let's have a good show, huh, fellas?
Oh, my God.
What's wrong? I mean, money? Akbar? I didn't realize it then, but my life would take a tumble like, well, like socks in a dryer.
White socks, Marcus, what are you thinking? Wardrobe, we gotta get you. Oh, shut the front door.
To be ostracized like that, it hurt. But life has a funny way of showing you opportunities.
was like a beacon of light guiding me to the promised land.
Yes, socks, so many socks, so many colors.
What is wrong with you? You think you can handle these socks? You can't handle it. Dude, we're minutes away from here. Get your stuff together. We got a show to put on.
Hey, wait.
I think these will go with what I got going on. But get it together.
He was right. I wasn't acting myself. I had let these socks consume me. I realized then I had to be my own man. I had to find my own niche. And that's exactly what I did.
And welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live,
like
joined
the
by
spirit.
The always dapper Marcus Grant with a story, well, like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
You know,
Marcus,
here
you are in a white leather chair. Make that pleather.
I like
find
your
my own thing. Thank
I
you.
Like your
I appreciate that. That box changed my life. It really.
And
did.
By the way, he tied his own bow tie.
That's right, he does.
That's impressive.
Pretty good.
Can you teach me how to do that?
Absolutely. I love the show. We'll work
during
on
the commercial.
That.
We'll go work on
all right, hey, Tommy Hilfiger and Hugo Boss, let's go. It's time to talk about some favorite quarterback matchups we like for the week. It's playoff time when the people need our advice. Fabs, get us started. Good matchup this week.
Let's go Russell Wilson, who has had some bad matchups in the last few weeks, but he's still producing for your fantasy football team. In fact, over his last four games, he is averaging almost 20 fantasy points, and he plays the Eagles this week. I know they stopped Tony Romo last week, and I don't want to really talk about that too much because it's depressing, but anyways, the Eagles have allowed the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks in the last 4 weeks, so start Russell Wilson. And don't start the guy he's playing, Mark Sanchez.
Well, let's go to Tony Romo here. Marcus, favorable matchup, we think, against the Chicago Bears in Chicago on Thursday night. You good with this?
I am good with this. I know you don't want to talk about Romo, Fabs, but I will. He was not good on Thanksgiving against the Eagles, but he said he's got to be better. He knows he has to be better for the Cowboys to continue to succeed and get a good spot for the playoffs, and the matchup is fantastic. And I'm normally not a guy who advocates starting players on Thursday night. It always makes me a little bit nervous, but against that Bears secondary, against that Bears defense in general, I think this is a week that Romo bounces back and he finds his targets, especially guys like Dez Bryant, maybe even Terrence Williams gets back into the act.
Hey, look, if Matt Stafford could find the path right after a dismal fantasy season, why not Tony Romo? Akbar, I cannot believe you're going with Colin Kaepernick after a two-point performance.
Well, and believe it or not, I actually have Colin Kaepernick, going to be playing Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, right, I'm not in the playoffs. But look, if you have the opportunity to make it to the playoffs with Colin Kaepernick, consider yourself
lucky.
Very, very lucky. And why not stretch that luck one more week in the playoffs going up against the Oakland Raiders? I know that he put up bad numbers last week, but the Raiders team, I mean, it's not even a newsflash or breaking news. They're horrible. They're not good on defense. Colin Kaepernick will have an opportunity to expose this defense and let it rip both on the ground and in the air.
Yeah, top 5 points allowed to the quarterback position all season long and through 13 weeks. That's a pretty good sample size. All right, Dez, we shift to the running back position. Fabs, let's keep it going. A running back start you like this week.
Yeah, we're going to go to Cleveland and Isaiah Crowell, who, oh, by the way, is now the featured back for the Browns. Because did you see what happened last week after Terrence West fumbled? Coach was not happy. So Crowell is going to be the guy this week. I like the matchup against the Colts. They've allowed an average of over 21 fantasy points per game to running backs this year. And I expect Crowell to see 18 to 22 touches in this contest. They'll run the ball, they'll run it again, and they'll run it some more, and they'll give the ball to the Alabama State Prime.
That sounds like Thanksgiving. Just keep eating, huh?
How about
feed me,
Marcus, if you manage to hold on to Rashad Jennings through his injury, it is certainly going to pay off here week one of the playoffs.
It absolutely has, and I know he had a rough start on his first game back, but he also had a bad matchup that week. Since then, he's been running well, he's running hard, and more importantly, he's getting those touches down near the goal line, so he has chances to get into the end zone and score touchdowns. He's going up against a Titans defense this week that was shredded. Now, mind you, they were shredded through the air by Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they've also been beat up on the ground by opposing running backs. Jennings has been the most consistent thing going for the Giants offensively. I expect him, like Crowell, to be fed repeatedly and have a very big game.
That's because he sleeps in the hyperbaric chamber.
Hey, Michael Jackson did that too, right?
But roll tide.
Wait a minute. It's Michael Jackson.
Easy, buddy. But I do like Mark Ingram this week, and he's going up against the Carolina Panthers. You know that the Saints right now, I mean, look, that entire NFC South division is horrible, and they're fighting to stay alive to make it to the top there, and they're going to do it by giving Mark Ingram the ball. When they win games, it's because Mark Ingram is running the ball and he's got 100 plus yards, except for that 49ers game that went into overtimes. But you get the point. Feed him the ball, you'll win, you'll continue to be competitive in that NFC South, if you want to call it that, competitive.
Well, hey, you're still going to get a playoff berth regardless of what your record is if you win that division. And you mentioned the 100 yards, four of his last six, and that Panthers defense considerably better the last season than it is this year. And he put it on the Panthers even the last two matchups.
Yeah, they win when he runs it.
Let's go to the wide receiver position. A gentleman, we'll say, a pass catcher that you trust, Fabs.
Odell Beckham. I know he didn't have a huge game in standard leagues this past week, but in PPR, he was very strong. And Beckham overall has played extremely well. 593 receiving yards in the last 5 weeks. That's most of the National Football League. Yeah, you should do your hair like that. Sorry about that. This week, he plays the Titans. And the Titans just gave up six touchdowns to Ryan Fitzpatrick, of all people. So start ODB. Start him with confidence in a game where I don't like Eli, but I do like the rookie.
From one rookie Bayou Bengal to the next, you're going to go with his teammate at LSU, Jarvis Landry, Marcus.
I am, because he has really started to emerge in the Dolphins' offense in the last couple of weeks. He's had double-digit targets in each of the last two games. You see what he did on Monday night, the 8 catches, 68 yards. So especially in PPR leagues, he's really become an outstanding option to have. And he's kind of become a little bit more reliable than Mike Wallace even in that offense. Ryan Tannehill is finding ways to get Jarvis Landry the ball, and he's got a fantastic matchup coming up this week. Landry's a guy that you can still find on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. Grab him if he's still available. Plug him in at least as a flex spot, and you can get some good numbers out of him.
Well, it's interesting here. Selfishly speaking, I have both Jarvis Landry and Calvin Benjamin, and we'll be deciding between the two for my flex spot. So, Akbar, Marcus just sold me. You sell me.
I'm going to tell you to go with Calvin Benjamin. Calvin Benjamin, 110 targets. That's a lot of opportunities. That's 47 more than any of the other wide receivers they have there. So not only do they not have a run game, not only do they not have another wide receiver to go through, he is the only wide receiver, and there's no one to really stop him, especially not the New Orleans Saints, who've been struggling in the pass defense. So Cam Newton is going to be looking for Kelvin Benjamin often. This is a big game for Kelvin Benjamin, a bounce-back game.
Fabs, you want to break the tie? Who do I start?
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin? Really?
Yeah. Over 1,000 yards.
People don't realize
over 1,000 yards this season.
I know.
And
I like
10-plus touchdowns. He'll have that.
I like Jarvis Landry, too, but the track record this year.
I guess I want the 110 targets. All right. The tight end position, thank you, gentlemen, has been one of the trickiest to get right this year. Who can you trust when your season is on the line? We'll tell you which tight ends have the best Week 14 matchups after this.
I see you, Nick Eddy, behind me.
Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by Bose. Money here with all the dudes. It is win or go home for a number of fantasy leagues, and maybe a lot of teams trying to get into the playoffs. So let's get to the always tricky tight end position. Fabs, give us a matchup you like this week that the people can trust.
Well, I always pick on Martellus Bennett because he's good in September, and then after that, he's not so good.
But
last week, put up a good number. He's playing his old team on Thursday night. By the way, we will be there.
That's right.
And the Cowboys have given up the fourth most fantasy points to tight end, so start Martellus Bennett. Yeah,
guess
I said it.
Who is back in the Vikings lineup, Marcus Grant?
It's December. Back. That means it's time for Rudolph the Red Zone Reindeer. It's great.
Horrible.
He's looked better in his last couple weeks.
Get to the next tape.
He had the touchdown last week.
You're done talking.
Delaney Walker is a guy that I like this week.
You
like
Delaney Walker? Bad against tight ends. All right, I'm done.
Here's how I do. Terrible.
I look at the tight ends and I go, if he was bad last week, it'll mean he will be good this week. That's the way the tight end position has been going. You can't trust these guys week to week. So I look for the guy who was lousy last week and then I go with them. So Delaney Walker,
okay.
Great matchup. It's, hey.
Terrible last
week.
Going with him this week. Vernon Davis.
Yes. Just the right hear philosophy. Me out. Just hear me out. Look.
Okay.
Look. He's Vernon Davis hasn't been very good. In fact, this is the worst season he's put up since his rookie year.
I'm going to talk more about Delaney Walker.
Let me tell you this. Almost every tight end that's gone up against the Raiders have scored. So I believe that this is going to be the game where Vernon Davis steps out and has his only big game. So this is the only time that you can play him. This is like one of those Cyber Monday deals. You get it now, that's it.
I'm going to go with Jordan Reed. I don't know if you see the numbers here, gentlemen. Nine receptions, 123 yards. He is a load to deal with for linebackers because he's too fast. He's hard for safeties to deal with because he's what? Too big. That's why you start Jordan Reed this week, and that is going to do
like
it for
that.
Us here.
But he was good last
today.
Week.
He was great last week, so why not ride the hot hand? Tune in tomorrow for all of Michael Fabiano's
Rudolph Rudolph the Red Nose
for Week 14.
Have a very shiny nose.
Terrible.
And if you have